Well, the Father's Day experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to put a smile on the big guy's face this summer with hand-selected gift packages starting at just $89. Go to omahasteaks.com, use the promo code Stephanie at checkout for an additional discount when you shop gourmet gift packages for Father's Day. Every steak, every entree is flash frozen, vacuum sealed, ready to prepare whenever your dad wants to grill. Omaha Steaks knows exactly what dads want: steak. This Father's Day, give him an experience he'll always remember. Mouth-watering steaks and a reason to think about you. From dad jokes to skin knees, your dad is one of a kind, right? This Father's Day, show him all the love with Omaha Steaks. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use that promo code Stephanie at checkout for exclusive savings on gift packages starting at, yes, you heard me right, just $89. He's guaranteed to love it. The most mouth-watering steaks, the best side dishes. Dad is going to love you so much. Go to omahasteaks.com. Don't forget the promo code is Stephanie. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace, and they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie's helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. My latest project, tree trimming for our phone lines into the radio show. I mean, any home improvement you need, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and in your area. Get started at Angie.com, that's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. The app and the website is free to use.
If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
This is the most ineffective, incompetent majority, I think, in American history. Full stop. It has been nearly an entire year almost, since anything that we have done in the Rules Committee has gone to the President's desk. And the last time it did happen, it was with Democratic votes.
Yep. Yes, it was. Hi, if Hello. You are watching television or listening... obviously, I am not Jody. I am not Jody Hamilton. No, I am Jody Hamilton.
You are Jody Hamilton.
Yes, I am. I am not Stephanie Miller. Right. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. She is off today because she just got back from the very first leg of the Sexy Liberal Save the World Tour in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was a humdinger of a show.
It was. By all accounts, it was great. Cliff Schechter was incredible as the first special guest on panel. Mm-hmm. And everything was all good. And she got to meet Mary Tyler Moore, or at least the statue.
Right, she got to meet this. She took a picture with the statue.
Right, yes, yes. And she tried to get the ball out of the twins' dog's mouth.
Yeah, that's not nice.
No,
don't take them away.
No,
don't do that. Don't do that. But that was Representative Jim McGovern on Thursday night, going appropriately off.
Yeah.
On his GOP colleagues. He went on after what he just said to say this about
Republicans have tried and failed to pass their own rules 7 times this Congress. 7 times this House has been stuck at a standstill because of their infighting. Before this Congress, it had been 20 years since a rule failed. It's been 50 years, half a century, since we've seen this many rules go down. And Republicans have done it 7 times.
And he went on to say this.
One or two, 3 times maybe, that's just incompetence. But 7? 7 is a disaster. 7 is paralysis. It means weeks and weeks of sitting around doing nothing because Republicans can't get their house in order and do their job.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's amazing how awful the GOP is in... They don't know how to govern.
No, they absolutely don't.
Actually,
they don't even know how to control their own caucus.
Right. I mean, I think they do know how to govern. I just think they don't want to.
Well, I mean, they're catching hell from their own constituents about not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that this is intended. It's just what's happened because their caucus is so divided. They have no control over their own caucus.
Yeah, and Mike Johnson is a wuss.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if he wants to get work done, like Representative McGovern said, work with the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, stop the Hastert rule at this point.
Well, and also stop being afraid of Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. I mean...
What she is threatening is completely hollow. So they need to stop being scared of her.
I agree completely. No, she's threatening him, and she can do it.
Yeah,
you know,
because of their own rules.
Because of their own rules. Because unlike Nancy Pelosi, they have kept that rule. She changed it when she was Speaker, because apparently it had been a rule for a long time, never used, but had been a rule for a long time.
Right.
And when she became Speaker, she said, "No,
that leads to chaos." She knew that.
She knew that. She knew what she was doing. She was a really good Speaker of the House. She will go down in history as one of the best, I think, Speakers of the House. She got a lot of work done in spite of her very slim margins. Without the Senate being what they were, we could have gotten a lot more done.
Yeah.
And even with the Senate that we have right now, with her being a Speaker before, they got so much done.
Absolutely.
With the slim margins in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this is incompetence, as the representative said,
right,
on steroids.
Yeah.
And so y'all got to make some decisions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come November, regarding the House especially, because it's a disaster. Nothing is getting done for anybody.
No.
The border should be getting done.
Yeah.
It should. Democrats are saying it daily.
Yeah.
And it's because Speaker Johnson refuses to do his job, because he would get the votes.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely just passed the Senate bill.
Yeah.
It would pass.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly, there are Republicans that would vote for it. Most Democrats would vote for it, because it's a decent bill. It goes too far for some Dems, but not so far that they wouldn't vote for it.
Right.
So yeah, they just need to get their you know what together.
OMG, I am so excited about our new sponsor, Cook Unity. These are ready cooked meals. You want to know my first six? Grilled mahi mahi with oyster mushrooms and steamed rice. Vegan rigatoni pesto. Four cheese ravioli with cherry tomatoes and spinach. Hang on. Climate friendly chickpea and quinoa bowl. Classic salad niçoise. Lemon baked tilapia. I don't have time to cook. These, you just pop them in the microwave, bam, you're done. Go to cookunity.com/liberal. You will not believe the quality and the quantity of different choices that you have. Whatever you need, vegan, paleo, pescatarian, gluten-free, whatever you love, they have a delicious dish. Cook Unity is the first chef-to-use service delivering locally sourced meals from award-winning chefs right to your door every week, and it's cheaper than other delivery options. So delicious and no cooking required. I love that on work nights for me. Go to cookunity.com/liberal or enter the code liberal before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using the code liberal or going to cookunity.com/liberal. Quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have, the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform. One source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. NetSuite.com/Miller. NetSuite.com/Miller. One more time. NetSuite.com/Miller.
Speaker Johnson.
Uh-huh.
God warrior himself. He met with Donald down in Mar-a-Lago.
Yes.
Over the weekend.
Yeah, he flew down and genuflected.
Uh-huh. And to create a federal law that won't allow non-citizens to vote. Spoiler.
Non-citizens.
Spoiler alert, they can't vote anyway.
Right. Non-citizens are prohibited from voting.
Yes. And even if they did.
On a federal level and at every state level.
You know, some municipality, yeah.
Yeah, some localities will allow non-citizens to vote, but that's up to them.
And that's not a federal issue.
Right.
And
it's not necessarily something I agree with either.
I'm not sure I do either. Regardless.
Right.
On a federal level, non-citizens are already prohibited from voting, so I don't understand what this kind of nonsense...
It's performative. It's absolutely performative. It's something that Mike Johnson can take to his talk radio base to say, hey, look, I'm doing something.
Right.
But it means absolutely nothing because there's already a law.
Exactly. And even if there were people who have voted that were non-citizens, mm-hmm. that are here, say, under green cards or things like that, but they're still non-citizens... Mm-hmm. it would be so minuscule, the number of people, that it would not affect a general election,
right,
or even a primary for that matter.
Right.
And anybody that is here undocumented, they're not going to risk it.
No.
Because it's a federal offense.
Exactly. They don't want to get sent back home.
No. So it's the most ridiculous thing to look like, hey, I'm doing something, kids. Right. Eric Swalwell, actually, he talked about this with Anderson Cooper over the weekend. And Eric Swalwell is amazing.
Spare me, Anderson. I mean, it's too rich that Donald Trump and Mike Johnson are talking to us about election integrity. That's like having to listen to a lecture by Bonnie and Clyde on bank security. I mean, it's absurd considering what they did in the 2020 election to try and overturn it.
Hey, he mentioned Stephanie's dogs, Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, that's true.
They shouldn't vote either.
Right.
It's the most insane thing to waste time over. And he's there to kiss the ring. Mm-hmm. And if you watched any of the press conferences with Johnson and you looked at Donald over his shoulder, he was scowling the whole time.
Yeah.
Because he's going to court today.
Yeah.
He's having a very bad day.
Yeah. Yeah. And he went off on Truth Social overnight.
Yes, he did. He definitely did. Here's what we can expect today, by the way, to start jury selection. So they all have to, there's 100 jurors that are going to be in the courtroom at a time.
Right.
They're bringing in at least 500 people. They might bring in more, but 100 at a time. And the judge is going to allow people that say, hey, I cannot be impartial, to just walk out.
Yeah.
And they'll have to go back to the jury pool, and then they'll be set on another trial potentially.
Right.
But at the moment, if they raise their hand and say, I cannot be impartial, thank you, goodbye.
Uh-huh.
Normally a judge would question why that juror could not do it, but it's time consuming to find out if that person is telling the truth or not.
Right.
Because many people are not. But in this instance, it's just a time consumption that this judge does not want to have to do. He's done it before with other juries. He just doesn't want to do it now.
Right.
Part of the jury's questionnaire will include if they follow QAnon conspiracies, if they're on Truth Social.
What podcasts they listen to.
What podcasts they listen to. Any news, where they get their news. Proud Boys, if they're a member of the Proud Boys or like the Proud Boys, they will be quizzed about him, but they can't, about Donald, but they cannot explicitly ask what political party they are in or who they voted for, even though Trump's attorneys wanted that question.
Right.
I don't think it's legal to ask somebody that.
I don't think so.
They're doing it in a roundabout way. Have you ever been to a Trump rally?
Right.
They're asking those kinds of questions, and then once that juror...
And plus, there are plenty of Republicans who don't like Donald Trump or who don't care about Donald Trump.
Right.
So that question is kind of irrelevant anyway.
Yeah. And so what they're going to do is they're going to fill out the forms, and then I've been voyeured before. So then they call your number up and you sit in the jury box, and it's a little disconcerting. And the prosecutor will ask XYZ based on your questionnaire answers. The defense attorney will ask the same. And sometimes the judge will ask questions to just kind of vet the juror.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are preemptive challenges and there are challenges for cause. And I believe they have 10 peremptory challenges each.
Mm-hmm.
And a cause is different. I don't think there's a limit on cause, but there has to be.
I'm not sure.
So anyway, having done this before, having been questioned by, I was literally sat down for 2 seconds and I asked.
Well, yeah.
And then I was back out of
there.
I've
been a part of one jury and I've been voir dired another time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, it's a financial hardship because the judge said that the case was going to be a lot longer than usual. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm a single person. I'm the only one, you know.
In my household.
Making money in my household. I can't stay out that long. And he's like, okay, fine.
I've had that happen to me, and then you go back down to the jury pool, and then you're excused at the end of the day if you're not called back. But I literally sat in a jury box before, and it was a domestic violence case.
Okay.
And the first question out of the prosecutor's mouth was, have you ever been abused? And I said, no, but my best friend was for years.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense said, thank you, bye.
Yeah.
It was literally how long I was there. I barely warmed the seat. I was juror number 26.
Okay.
And then I had to go back downstairs and wait until the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was voir dired by a judge once for a murder trial.
Okay.
And I had to stay, came back the next day, so I actually got paid my $15.
Yep.
And they needed 24 jurors, so it was a big thing. And I was one of the last people to say bye. They finally seated everybody, and we're like, yay, we get to go home.
Right.
Because I also didn't have that kind of time. It was like a 3-month-long trial.
Yeah.
And I've been excused before for time constraints. Civil trials take usually longer than criminal ones, depending on the criminal trial, obviously. But it's... I think this questionnaire is going to be extremely helpful. Mm-hmm. And Don, sorry, I don't want to do that. An ex-judge does think, though, that Donald might have violated his gag order by attacking Michael Cohen.
Okay.
Carol Lamb, she's a former U.S. attorney who used to serve as a judge in California. And on Sunday, she said that whoever she was on with, I forget who she was on with, their host asked her about Donald's attacks on Cohen, who the ex-president said is a disgraced attorney and a felon.
Okay.
Which are true.
He served his time.
So the host asked her, does that violate the gag order? She said, I think it does technically violate it. The prosecution has been clear about who will be called as witnesses, and obviously Michael Cohen is on the list. But she also claimed that it might be difficult for the judge to do anything because Michael Cohen has been so publicly out there against Donald Trump.
Right.
So she's not sure that the judge will do anything because of attacking Michael Cohen, because Michael Cohen is out in the public somewhat attacking Donald.
Sure, he has a podcast.
Right, and he somewhat attacks Donald on a daily basis.
Sure.
And he's being subpoenaed, by the way. He's not testifying voluntarily.
Right.
He's under subpoena to do it. He will testify. He's going to be a major, major witness in case.
Yeah.
He and Stormy Daniels and Catherine McDougal are the big ones.
Right, because he allegedly had a huge part in this situation.
And is David Peppers also... Isn't he?
I don't know.
I think he is on the witness list. And he would also corroborate everything with Cohen and with Stormy Daniels and with Karen McDougal. This is how it gets. This is why Donald's freaked out. He is completely and utterly gobsmacked. And it's Jim Acosta was talking about it. Mm-hmm. Donald keeps complaining about gag orders, which is just.
Well, yeah.
He was hit with it, and he alleges that the order only happens to me. I can't do him because I'm able to tell people what's happening, and those people get extremely angry with what's happening. So Acosta says, that sounds like a threat.
Uh-huh.
He wants his people to get angry. After this, Trump said that Judge Marchand should be recused from the case and complained that there's never been a judge more conflicted. Norm Eisen said Acosta's instincts appear to be on the spot and likened them to the menacing rhetoric Trump used after he lost the 2020 election.
Sure.
Remember, he tweeted, it will be wild, Eisen recalled. In that context, it will be repeated history of his words leading to risk or danger and violence. And that's why the gag order is in place. It's not unusual when he says people get angry. That should be a flashing red light. And I cannot agree more. The man has these people under his spell.
Sure.
And they do what he says.
Right.
So witnesses, jurors in this case, and I hope every case will be anonymous.
I hope so.
At least to the public.
Yeah, I hope so.
Obviously, the defense and the prosecutions have to know who these people are in order to properly vet them.
Right. And he has a history of intimidating jurors in cases that he's been involved in.
Well, I mean, he called out the clerk at the E. Jean Carroll trial, correct?
Right.
As if the clerk had anything to do with anything.
Right.
She had nothing to do with it. He accused her of helping the judge make decisions. Well, clerks are there to help a judge grab things that they need to read in order to make decisions, in order to make rulings, in order to do their job. Clerks are there to help aid them in their job.
Right.
She wasn't there to make rulings. She was there to help him with rulings.
Uh-huh.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That's not working.
Oh, okay.
And that would be why. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.